Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel. And before I start, I would like to acknowledge that we are meeting tonight on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Pay my respects to elders past and present. And the panel also acknowledges Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who currently reside in the area. So the meeting today is to consider the development application on the agenda. And panel members have read agenda papers for the meeting and submissions received and have had a briefing from council staff on the one item that's on the agenda tonight. Panel members tonight are myself, Richard Pearson, as the independent chair, and to my right I've got Darlene van der Bruggen, and to her right, Tony Carrot, and they're the independent expert members. And on the other side of the table is Amelia Thorpe, who is the community representative for tonight's meeting. So welcome everyone tonight. Please be assured the panel will be determining the application on its planning merits that's before us tonight. That's very important. It's always the case. We determine applications on their planning merits and following any views expressed tonight by people who present to the panel and submissions that have been received. Decisions made by a majority of votes of members present and entitled to vote. If votes were tied, I would have a casting vote. As an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decision will be recorded in the minutes of the meeting. And where the panel goes against or amends the officer's recommendation, we will state our reasons for doing that. So the format for tonight is that the Manager of Planning Assessments will provide an overview of the application and key issues raised and the recommendation of council staff. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, and there are some people who have registered, followed by the applicant and or the applicant's representative. Please note there is a 3-minute time limit for speakers. We will sound a bell. We are flexible and, you know, you will have opportunity to wrap up your presentation to the panel, but please try to stick to that 3-minute time limit if you can. And I do ask that speakers be heard in silence and respectfully. And please ensure no personal criticism directed at speakers or council staff. Panel may ask questions of speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. If you have registered to speak, your address to the panel will be recorded, as all the public meetings of the panel are recorded and recordings are available on the City's website. Please note no recording or filming of the meeting other than that. After hearing from speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on the application, and this may involve adjourning the meeting or we may move straight to make the decision depending on the issues that are raised and the panel's views. If we considered more information was required, it is possible we could defer our decision on this application, but we will allow the meeting to progress and see how that transpires. So moving to the actual meeting, item one is disclosures of interest, and all members under clause 4.9 of the Code of Conduct have signed a declaration of interest in relation to the matter on the agenda tonight, and no members have disclosed any pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest in the matter which is before us tonight. So all panel members are eligible to consider and determine this matter. Item two, confirmation of minutes. The panel notes the minutes of the Local Planning Panel, which is held on the 18th of September 2019, which have been endorsed by the chair of that meeting. That brings us to item three, the development application in Zetland, which I'm going to ask Bill Mackay to briefly give us an overview of that application and key issues raised in the officer's recommendation. So thank you, Bill.
Thank you. So this is an application relating to an existing place of public worship at 932 to 934 Burke Street in Zetland. The applicant and the landowner is the Australian Federation of Islamic Councils. The site is located within a mixed-use zone and the proposed development is permissible with consent. There are essentially two components to the proposal. One is the extension of the hours and one is the enclosure of an existing covered open space. So the existing approved hours for the premises are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, and the application seeks consent to operate between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. 7 days a week. The alterations and additions involve the enclosing of an existing covered car parking area on the corner of Elizabeth Street and Navin's Lane, and for the use of that space as a prayer hall. The application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions. So this slide gives a brief overview of how the place of public worship operates, and it shows the various prayer times and the frequency and the expected attendance. So the prayers that attract the most amount of people, which is between 100 and perhaps 150 people, operate generally within that midday period. And then you have some prayers which are much more infrequent that also attract that kind of numbers. And those are on the bottom three rows of that table. So generally the prayers during the day, 6 a.m. to 7:30, the morning prayer, would expect up to 20 people. 11:30 till 1 p.m., up to 20 people. 1:15 to 1:50, possibly up to 150. 3 o'clock to 4 p.m., up to 20 people. 6:30 to 7:30, up to 20 people. 6:45 to 9 p.m., up to 20 people. And then the prayers, as I said, on the lower three rows of that table are less frequent. So you do have a prayer time at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., possibly up to 150. That is every day during the month of Ramadan, so it's not every day of the year. And then 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., up to 150 people. That's one prayer day. That happens one day after the month of Ramadan. And then 7:30 to 8 a.m., in the morning, that's up to 150, and that's a prayer that is one day that occurs 2 months and 10 days after Eid al-Fitr prayers. So the application has been notified a couple of times. Originally it was notified in October and November of last year. 407 owners and occupiers were notified, 61 submissions were received. The application was then re-notified following the receipt of additional information in May of this year. 683 owners and occupiers were notified and 45 submissions were received. In total, 106 submissions by way of objection have been received from 69 individuals. The submissions raise a number of issues in relation to the use of the site, potential noise impacts, the hours of operation, traffic and parking impacts, the capacity of the premises, safety issues and pollution issues. This slide shows the premises from which submissions were received. It doesn't show premises where the submissions were asked to be kept confidential. But the site is identified in red and the submissions come from premises adjacent and in the vicinity of the site. This plan shows the site in a little more detail. It has frontage to Burke Street, Elizabeth Street and Navin's Lane, and it's in close proximity to the Green Square Town Centre, which is just off to the left-hand side of the photograph. This is a view of the site looking southwest along Burke Street. The site essentially consists of two components. One is the building and then an open car park area adjacent to the building. This is a closer view of the site on Burke Street. You can see the car park, existing building. It's a view within the car park looking through to the laneway. A view of the site from Elizabeth Street on the corner of Elizabeth Street and Navin's Lane. And you can see on that corner is the area, the current existing open but covered area that is to be enclosed to create the new prayer hall. This is a view from slightly further afield looking down Navin's Lane. And for the most part, either side of Navin's Lane, the premises are residential. And you can see in the distance the new development at the Green Square Town Centre. And this is a closer view of the site on the laneway. So that's on the corner of the laneway and Elizabeth Street, and that's the existing covered area that is to be enclosed. The next set of plans just show the plans. plans and elevations of the proposed development. So this is the site plan. This is the ground, proposed ground floor plan. So it shows the new pro hall in the bottom left-hand corner of that image where the existing covered car parking area is. And it's a proposed elevation to Navin's Lane, although that will be behind the existing boundary walls and fences, which are to be retained. This is a view from Elizabeth Street. But in terms of compliance with the key development standards, the development complies with the 9-metre height limit with the new works with approximately maximum height of 3 metres. It complies with the maximum permissible floor space ratio, and it complies with the maximum permissible car parking. There are currently 15 car parking spaces on the site. That is to be reduced to 11. The maximum permissible under the controls is 26. In terms of the hours of operation in the council controls, the base hours in this area in the mixed-use zone is 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. The hours that are proposed are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The hours that are recommended are the 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. hours, but with a trial for the early morning 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. hours, which fall outside the base hours identified in council's controls. So the issues are essentially the potential noise impacts from the development, from the new pro hall, and from potential increased persons entering and leaving the site, and issues relating to traffic and parking. In terms of noise, the application doesn't anticipate an increase in the congregation of the premises. It's just accommodating the current use of the premises, albeit some of that use has been outside the terms of their existing 1989 consent. So the enclosure of the outdoor area and conditions of consent will assist in ameliorating noise impacts, and conditions include the implementation of the management recommendations included in both the acoustic report and the plan of management submitted with the application. In terms of traffic, there is proposed to be a reduction in 4 on-site car parking spaces as a result of the enclosure of that covered area to create the new prayer hall. There will be 11 spaces provided on the site, and that's within the maximum 26 spaces which are allowed under the controls. A perceived increase in persons and the actual increase in hours does result in some concern regarding increased traffic and congestion. But the implementation of the measures contained in the traffic and parking report and the plan of management submitted with the application are addressed in the conditions of consent and considered will assist in reducing adverse traffic impacts. So the application is recommended for approval subject to condition. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So we do have registered speakers, as I mentioned. And firstly, I'd like to call Linda King. If Linda, if you could come to the microphone and address the panel, please. You just need to press the button on the right-hand side.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm a local resident that lives very close to the development site, and just want to say firstly, I have no objection whatsoever in terms of any sort of religious or ethnic ground whatsoever. In fact, the welcoming of diversity into the community is something that's really good. However, we have a huge problem at the moment with traffic and parking in that area of Elizabeth Street in Setland, and I think that this will just make that condition a whole lot worse. At certain times of the day, it's particularly bad. Around lunch times on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, but particularly Fridays and Saturdays, the traffic congestion is very, very bad. It can sometimes take you an hour to get from the Navin's Lane up to the top of Redfern Park, which you can probably walk in about 15 minutes because the traffic congestion is so bad. At that time of the day, there's you're allowed to park on both sides of the street, so there's not two lanes of traffic that can move freely, so that makes it worse. And I don't think that 11 car spaces is enough for that level of traffic and extra cars that are going to come into the to the facility. I do note that in the plans, there's plans for some sort of management around trying to direct traffic and direct parking, and I think that would address some of the issues, but it won't address the general traffic congestion. That's not going to help traffic move freely on the road, because that parking, I think it's called a parking officer, is not going to be able to direct general traffic on the road and direct other people travelling around and trying to get ease in around the site when there's traffic coming in. So that's my main objection.
Panel members have any questions? Well, Linda? Not? Okay, thank you very much, Linda. What we'll do at the end of this is I'll ask Graham Yarn, the head of planning, to respond to the issues that have been raised and how council officers have proposed that it be addressed. So we might come back. We will certainly come back on the issues that you've raised at the end of each person speaking. Thanks. So now I'd call up Derek Jenkins.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm also a resident in Zetland, live five doors down from the place of worship. Similar to the previous speaker, no objections whatsoever. It was one of the reasons that I moved into the area in terms of diversity and the changing feel of the suburb, and recognising that the mosque has been there for a long time. We knew that moving in. The thing that has changed for me, observable over kind of the last 16 years, is the change in traffic patterns and the impact that it has on me and visitors to my house. Living so close to the city, I made a whole pile of decisions of what I was going to do to reduce my impact on the environment and my use of public transport. Being able to walk to work from Zetland is a commitment I make. I work just behind Town Hall, that is something that I hold near and dear, but also the ability to work from home is something that I've also fostered that relationship with my employer to allow me to do so. And the reality is, particularly on Fridays, which I recognise is one of the peak periods currently for the mosque, the ability, for example, if I need to have a courier turn up to deliver materials from one of our other sites to me at home working from home, I will get calls saying, I'm sorry, I cannot deliver it. Can you walk to and then pick an intersection for me to leave my work and go to meet a courier somewhere, because they can't get anywhere close to the home. Similarly, we talk about the lane at the back there, so Nabbins Lane as it then becomes McPherson Lane as it leads up to Merton Street. Once prayer is commenced and things are settled, it is true, it appears on the veneer looks all calm and quiet. It is in that preceding, generally half an hour before and at least the half an hour after prayer. That laneway where you have, and it's a two-way laneway, you have traffic coming from both directions, scouting for any opportunity to park anywhere alongside the laneway where it's not a designated no stopping, no parking area. That combined with pedestrians using that laneway, both from the new development at the back, so our garage faces onto that laneway, the combination of people using Nabbins Lane as a pedestrian thoroughfare, combined with cars going both ways, it is a matter, and not to be dramatic, it is a matter of time before someone will be hit. It is a thing I can stand in my garage and you can basically set your clock by the time the traffic starts blocking up and the horns blast as cars trying to navigate each way. So to be clear, the objection is purely on the basis of traffic and parking. Facility as it's been proposed, no objections whatsoever with regards to noise from the hall, It is more the amenity for myself, the ability of people who come to visit me, and indeed when I choose to work from home, the ability to be able to do my work effectively there.
Thank you for that. Derek, no questions? Yep, we'll come back to these issues at the end. Mark Scarrett.
Hi there. My name's Mark Scarrett. I'm a resident of Zetland. Live on Elizabeth Street. I've been there for about 6 years now. When I moved into the area, it was the perfect suburb to be in. It was still diverse. There was a lot of different people there. You're close to the train station. You've got apartment blocks going up. There's all different types of way of life. You know, we all live in harmony in this suburb, and it's a great place to live. Unfortunately, if this does happen, and you've got 150 pairs of shoes outside a place of worship, you can't walk outside on the path. You've got people tripping over the shoes on the path. It's health and safety. Secondly, everybody talks about the streets and the roads and the cars. If you have 150 taxi drivers turn up, where are they going to park? They're going to be parking down the back lanes of Christie's Lane. When I need to go to work in the mornings, there's going to be cars at the back. It's going to cause trouble. If you guys don't have the right security there, who are going to be allocating the traffic around the different areas as well, people are going to be parking behind people's houses, behind the garages, and people aren't going to be going out to work, right? Now, if you're going to have the right sort of people that put the tickets out there at those times, try that. If you're going to have the police out there and try and help things like that, you're going to have to do it, right? I have friends there who are young families who have got, you know, kids. They can't even park outside their own house at the moment. They're having to park on the street. They get beeped at while they're having to put their child from the car onto the side of the road and then drive off again and put him into the house. It's just dangerous. There's not enough parking in Sydney as there is. And to have something like this happening this amount of times, and this will just be the start of it now, you're just asking for trouble. So I'm totally against this. I am not racist in any other way. I wouldn't even want this to happen to Hillsong or any type of organisation in this respect, but this is not going to help anything going on in Zetland. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So we might, I think we now come to the applicant representatives. I've got Sharif Aladdin and Kaiser Trad. I presume you're both representing the Muslim Council. So we might get you to come forward and address the panel, and perhaps you can respond also to some of the issues you've heard from residents tonight, but then Mr. Yarn will also do so. You know, feel free to make your own points that you want to make to the panel, but if you do have any views on points that have been put forward by speakers tonight, it would also be appreciated if you could respond. So over to you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for receiving us and hearing our concerns.
I'm sorry, can you just identify? Yeah,
my name is Kaiser Trad.
Kaiser. Yep.
I'm a former president of the Australian Federation of Islamic Councils. Presently, I'm a volunteer, and sometimes I deliver Friday sermons. I think I do it once a month, sometimes twice a month, depending on the need. I've taken note of the concerns, and I'm appreciative that everybody was supportive of diversity, and that this is not an issue relating to religion, that it's relating to traffic, parking, and the shoes outside. Now, I'll deal with the shoes first because it's very quick. Generally, there are several shelves inside the premises for people to place their shoes. And aside from the shelves, inside the fence, there's plenty of space for people to place the shoes. We can make sure, add another sign if that's a concern, to make sure that no one ever puts the shoes outside. But at the moment, we have not noticed an issue of people putting shoes outside because there's plenty of space on the inside. As far as the parking is concerned, most of the users who come on Friday, most of them are people who work in the area. You see a lot of people, construction workers, wearing the safety vests, the coloured safety vests, and they walk there. Most of them walk to the premises. For the number of people who actually drive there, we've implemented a plan for them, a control plan, and that has improved a great deal over the last... how long has the control officer been there? About 6 months or so? More than 6 months. And that has improved the control of the traffic. And I've been assisting from the start with the application, and I know that the organisation is willing to meet all the conditions. It is an article of faith for us not to disturb our neighbours, not to bother our neighbours. In fact, one of the statements of our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, the Archangel Gabriel came to me and kept telling me about the rights of the neighbour, that I thought he was going to tell me that he has a right to the estate of the deceased as well, even if they're not related. So emphasising that neighbours have rights. And we're going to the mosque for a spiritual activity to get closer to God. If we harm our neighbours or cause any harm to our neighbours, then we are diminishing that spiritual exercise. So we share the concerns, and we are happy to do anything that we can to alleviate these concerns. We did an exercise when I was president to try and talk to the neighbours to see if they can bring their concerns to us directly. We didn't really get direct objections to us, but we are happy to show anybody with an objection around the mosque explain to them what happens. They're welcome to visit. They're welcome to sit in on a service to observe for themselves and to see what takes place at the centre. I'm happy to answer any questions. Now over to Sharif.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak on behalf of the EFIC. And I would like to speak on the favour of the application. And we have been waiting since 2017 till now. It's brought to my attention the last, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, there is a couple of points which we have to address. One is the noise impact. The noise impact is coming up from the car park. I do believe we have got, and I've seen our neighbors next door, that he has children. Now, our proposal time is to start from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night. It's only 4 because we have got Fajr prayer. Now, Fajr prayer starts sometimes 5, sometimes 5:30, but we have got 1.5 hours time in to do the prayer. Now, I'm more than happy, which I've said in my letter, that I have, instead of opening the gate for 6 o'clock in the morning to disturb the neighbors, I'm happy to close that gate and will not be open till 8 o'clock in the morning. That will reduce the amount of the impact of the noise next to the neighbor. The other noise is, that's the parking area on the side which is facing Berg Street. The other concern which is done also is to have a barrier or to have obstruction from people that are parking in the parking area to the parking hall. There is a door there, and that door will be completely closed. It will not be open till 8 o'clock. And that is 2 hours, 2 hours to allow the worshippers to come to the premises to pray. On the other hand, is we hired a security officer, and the security officer has been instructed 1 point at a time. I do believe I have sent my presentation paper. I'm more than happy to read it for you and see if we can get in any questions or anything. Regarding our patrons, our worships, I have put 2 signs, 2 in the parking area and 2 in the parking hall. The parking area said, please respect our neighbors, please enter and exit quietly. That is in the red letters in both sides, in the parking hall and in the parking area. On the other concern is conduct of entry. There is certain a code of entry to the premises, which is saying, make sure that you are parking your car legally. Do not obstruct the driveway of the neighbors. Be respectful and lower your voices when you are communicating with each other, especially when in the parking area. That parking area is, according to proposal, supposed to be open between 6 and 10. It will not be open between 6 and 8. Just to make sure that next-door neighbor is completely lie in peace without disturbing, without have any noise impact. And also, do not speak when the imam giving his khutbah. At the same time, I have put a job description for the security officer. The security officer is have to be report when he come at 12 o'clock. At the moment, we have only one pray, which is might impact is on Friday. The praying time is start from 1:15, it will finish quarter to two. That only half an hour, which is impact for the workers to come both ways. An Eid pray on Ramadan, which is after an Isha pray, and that will come, it is about 100, 150 people, only for that month of Ramadan, is to come and have the worshipping and Taraweeh Salah. Eid, and also there's two celebration in the year, which is Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and we sometimes start 7:30, and we'll be finishing by 8:30. Also, part of the job description of security is to make sure that he's standing outside, make sure that all the worshippers, they are passing through, going home quietly and neatly and without disturbing the other of the worshippers and the other of our neighbors. If there is any concern from any neighbors, I went down there and I met most of the neighbors and I gave them some present with the children all sing to have our friendship extended to them. It's because we are part of our society. And I would like all you to have a look at it, my submission, and have a look at my conditions and my report to give us a chance to practice our religion peacefully with our neighbors. In the Eid time and the Jum'ah time, as from the coming, if we have the approval from you, I'm more than happy to put leaflet into the neighbors to tell them exactly that within 1 week or 2 weeks, we will be having Ramadan and you might have a bit of congestion of the traffic. Now, referring to the traffic in Zetland, not because the mosque. The traffic in the in Zetland and in Waterloo is generally. Now, it happened we are in the corner of Zetland, in the corner of Elizabeth Street and Baker Street. The disturbance of the traffic caused by lots of traffic and lots of development in the area. You have got lots and lots of units, and there's lots of people coming in there. I would like everybody to have a look and to see, even on Saturday or Sunday, we're not open because we haven't been granted the consent. I would like anyone to come and see on Saturday or Sunday, does the traffic affect that area or not? It's because we're not there. We're only there on Friday, which is the event, which is Jum'ah pray. Now, some people, they're concerned. We are concerned. I'll be more than happy, and I gave my telephone number, my email as well. Any complaints, I'll be more than happy to deal with it. That telephone number is 24 hours. That email is 24 hours. I'm happy to do anything, right, to make sure that we live in less harmony and more respect to each other. As a part of the citizen here, I would like you all to, whatever conditions you are imposing on us, we'll be more than happy to meet. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Thank you, Shuri. So, do panel members have any questions for either of the speakers at the table now? Right. Yeah, of course.
So this is not a question about parking, but we were curious about the enclosure of the parking area at the back, whether or not it's going to be air conditioned, whether there are windows that can be opened, purely just on the basis of how comfortable will it be within that space.
We have got 4 air conditioners in the premises. 1 air condition is controlling the whole inside, and 1 condition is for the air for the ladies' prayer room. The moment we close that area outside, the air condition will be sufficient to make everything nice and cool. With the finishing of the construction, we will assess that heat, we will assess that coldness, and if there is any need for the air condition, I'm more than happy to put another extra air condition, and I'm happy to put a ceiling fans in to make sure that all the worshippers will look after while they are praying.
Tony, anything you'd like to?
A design related question. I guess I'm a bit interested in the two existing walls along Elizabeth Street and Navin's Lane, which seem to be a combination of masonry and colour bond fencing, including a pair of gates that open into the current parking area, which clearly won't be needed once it becomes a prayer hall, the gates. So I'm just wondering if there's an opportunity to improve the presentation of the building, given that it's a heritage building and it's a corner building, to just look at, get your designers to raise the design quality, perhaps change the materials of the fencing, taking into account its visual appeal and also that there might be a better acoustic solution than colour bond, which has no acoustic value at all.
Any beautifications that council would approve, we are happy to recommend, because to us, we agree, it should be a beautiful place. We're happy to make it look better. I'm not sure what year we purchased the premises, but I do see from this perspective that it can look a lot better, more colour coordinated, but that'll be subject to council approval.
Okay, thank you. So maybe Mr. Yarn can respond to that. Just one point I would make, but this is prior to the panel formally considering this, is, and I notice you have got a transport access guide that you've prepared. I think like all traffic generating developments, you really need to try to maximise the number of people who access the facility by public transport or walking or cycling or whatever to try to take some of the pressure off the local traffic environment. I mean, this is not a problem that's unique to your facility. It's common to all traffic generating developments. I think your transport access guide is good in that it's laying out for people, for worshippers, what the options are to access the mosque. But I think that's an area where, you know, great that you're interfacing with your neighbours and trying to establish a good working relationship. That's excellent. But I think you need to really work with your devotees to get them to maximise the number of people who are accessing the site, not by car. I'm sure you're doing some of that, but that's just a point I'm going to make in passing. I don't really need a response, Sharif, unless you feel compelled to. But
I was only trying to answer one question, but I will answer your question at the same time. There is a certain study which we have done to make sure where our worship is coming from. As we are in the corner of Baker Street and Elizabeth Street, there is a bus route which is coming up from Kingsford, go all the way to Chestwood, which is 343. Also, there's a plans completely in our board, which is direct and educate our worshippers to come how to use the train and how to use the buses. And if any questions coming from them, we are more than happy to help them at the same time. Regarding the improving of the outside of the look of the premises, we will do our best to meet the standard of the council when the time comes for improving of the premises.
That time is tonight. You know, the decision will be made on this tonight. So what I'll do, thank you for that comment. I'm going to ask Mr. Yarn to respond to the number of issues that have been raised by people tonight, and then we will have further consideration of this matter. So I probably ask you, gentlemen, if you could return to the gallery, and I'll hand over to Mr. Yarn. Thank you for presenting to the panel.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, the traffic generation in a nearby residential occupancy, but it's in a business zone, has been very much an issue that the council has tried to work through. And the area is undergoing transition, a transition which is more to public, good quality public transport and frequent transport. The Green Square railway station will get some improvements. They're going to be improvements which are running late, but there will be improvements to the running times, and we're also campaigning for an additional metro station in Zetland as well. So it's a slow and painful transition, which is why you're seeing the roads where existing road system, and it is getting much more congested, particularly on the weekends. But that's occurring all across Sydney, basically, because the roads are almost a given, and the car is increasing. People are very attached to their car and feel that they need to experience their use of that car unimpeded. So with this application, we've tried to strike a balance, make sure that the traffic report and plan of management addressed the traffic issues that may be generated as far as possible. We tried to strike a balance between the use of the external car park against the disturbance factors for those that live around. And I would just suggest that the site directly opposite, the diagonally opposite the mosque on the corner of Burke and Elizabeth Street, which is a large commercial premises, there's a furniture shop with an external car park. It may be that the mosque can strike an arrangement with the owner of that land to allow some of the worshippers to park during those early periods before these premises open. And that deals with the morning prayer, also the special prayers in the morning. So that's the Fendi, Casa and Ellipse handcrafted furniture. Now, we can't have a condition of consent that requires a third party to provide parking, but it does seem to me it's a real genuine opportunity for the mosque to pursue that, particularly for morning prayer, although there are reduced worshippers, to try and, if that's successful, to really prevent drivers to approach and try to find a park from Elizabeth Street and Abbott's Lane. In other words, stay on the side of the road and access it from Burke. So in the spirit of the sort of attempting to be a good neighbour that we've heard from mosque operators around the shoes, and I don't need to reflect on that more than the undertaking that was given, I would suggest that they investigate that opportunity and be aware that this is a disturbing factor, particularly of the taxi driver component of the worshippers, that on shift and then come, they should try and park in the non-residential lanes and streets in the opposite former industrial area, on the streets and away from the residential as far as possible. So I guess that this has been considered. We tried to strike a balance between the two, and this is an opportunity for the mosque management to consider just how going forward they can improve the circumstances for the residents on those two counts.
Good point. Thank you for that. So, panel members have any other points they want to make? I think the points made by Mr. Yarn are things that we can't put into a condition of consent, but they, like, that's how Sydney's got to start to function, is by using its limited resources more flexibly. So anything you can do in negotiating with the furniture owners about out-of-hours parking to service the mosque, I think would be a significant improvement to the condition. So I, can't put it in a condition of approval, but I would strongly encourage you to pursue that option. And the second point about taxi drivers and others parking, I guess that's to the north of the site, on the other side of Burke Street, yeah, rather than congesting an already congested residential area, I think, again, as a good neighbour thing, that would be well regarded by the residents. Like, but I can't put that in a condition of consent, but just I think they're two very good points that could be a, you know, practical example of good neighbour relations, if you were able to pursue those points. I was going to propose one amendment to, and then other panel members can speak, but to the consent, which is you've got a table in your plan of management, it's table one, that relates to the different prayer categories or prayer names that you have. It's table one of your plan of management. You'll notice in the council report they have a similar table, but they have an additional column which is headed occurrence, and it actually tells you when these different prayer events, types, call them what you will, occur. And I think it's just very good for transparency for residents and others to be able to see the, you know, which ones are the daily events, which ones are Ramadan. So I'm going to propose that we amend condition six of the, I think this is the way to do it, condition six of the consent, which relates to the plan of management. So there's an existing condition there saying that the mosque has to be operated and managed in accordance with the plan of management. That will become point A of the consent. And then point B would say table one of the plan of management is to be amended to include an additional column specifying the occurrence of each prayer type, I'm going to use that word, as per the council officer's report. So the plan of management then is very transparent that these are when these things occur, but this is the frequency. You know, it's a daily thing all year round, or it's only in Ramadan. So that if I'm somebody who moves into the area, perhaps, then I look at the plan of management, I'm quite well acquainted with how it actually operates in a practical sense. So just dropping an additional column into table one will, I think, and you'll see this in the conditions of approval, should it be approved by the panel, and then that amendment would just need to be made to the plan of management document. So do you understand the point I'm making? Yeah, that's in the council officer's report. I want you to drop that into your plan of management table. Yep. Yeah, so Bill's put the slide up. So that column would become part of your plan of management. You don't need to worry about like doing it on the spot. This will be just one of the conditions of approval. So you would need to make that amendment prior to it's in the initial conditions. So prior to issue of a construction certificate, you would need to make that amendment. Want to respond? Okay. Anyway, that's my proposal. Any comments, Mr. Young?
Chair, there is an alternative way I do it, so that the conditions of consent stand.
Yep.
Without an amendment to a condition built into a condition. Mm-hmm. The other way is when you come to the recommendation, which is right at the beginning, mm-hmm. on page 3, and it just says that it is resolved that consent be granted subject to conditions set out in Amendment A,
yep.
to the subject report. You can put the instruction to update the plan of management in that statement.
So we go to page 3, and it's the same way, resolve that consent be granted for DA at blah, 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 subject to conditions set in attachment A to the subject report, and with an additional amendment, the words.
Yep.
Described. So don't play around. We won't play around with condition six, but we will add that into the recommendation, which, should the panel approve it, that will become the decision of the panel. So you can put it into the recommendation, but it will have the same practical effect as described. Yep, I agree with that. Mr. Yarn, that seems fine. So, with that amendment, was there any other points the panel members wanted to pursue at this time?
Is there some sort of condition we could put in suggesting the fence could be redesigned to the Director of City Planning's approval to allow them to not come back for another DA if they want to beautify the perimeter?
Jan?
Certainly such a condition could be put in. So I'm just now looking to see what condition might be amended if the panel was to support such a condition.
While Mr. Young's doing that, I would just make one. I think I'm on air. One further point, just is that should the panel approve this, that 6 to 7 slot in the morning is approved. I think you're clear on this. That's an initial 12-month approval, and that would then require an additional application in 12 months' time, should you wish to continue that use, and the performance during that 12-month trial period will obviously be part of the consideration of that. So, because that's outside the normal hours of operation, so it would be something that would essentially be a trial and subject to performance evaluation. I just want to make that clear as part of any consent that the panel might give, because that affects the morning-night noise issue. I don't think it's feasible. Well, it is feasible. I don't think the panel will require the car park to be closed for that 6 to 8 slot. I appreciate your offer on that, but I think that could exacerbate the local parking situation unless you can come to an arrangement with the furniture store on the other side, and then it could become very feasible at that point. But you know, it's just you've got to be careful on one thing leading to an unintended consequence somewhere else. Anyway, Mr. Yarn, have you worked out where we might put this additional condition?
Yeah. So I guess it would be at the end of Schedule 1A as a new condition 19, and then the conditions going forward would be renumbered. And condition 19 might read something like the plans described in condition 1A, so that's plans and elevations, are to be amended to include redesigned perimeter fence and gates to satisfaction. I guess that would mean that we'd be looking for a masonry fence and nicely designed gates or gates that are appropriate for the plans. So
you need gates off those streets.
Yeah.
I was going to say, could I also suggest that you look at including some planting as well as a masonry wall, and then also that while we're amending the plans that they get the chimneys added back in as well.
I guess that's a reference to the fact that the heritage building as drawn by Plan Shop is missing all the chimneys. And in approving those plans, that's not an intention to approve their demolition and removal just because they've been left off the drawings. So, and the retention of the masonry chimneys could be added.
Sorry, did you want to address the panel again? No? Okay. Yeah, I know. It's just if they're not on the plan, someone could interpret it that we've approved their demolition, which is not the intent. So we'll add some words in to make that clear. So so with those proposed changes, so the recommendation is resolve that consent be granted for DA as numbered, subject to conditions set out in attachment A, the subject report, and subject to A, which is in relation to the point I made previously about amending the plan of management to include that additional column, and then B, which is new condition 19 as outlined by Mr. Yarn, which has been minuted by the secretary. So what I'm now going to do is put to the panel that recommendation with those two amendments we've addressed tonight. All in favour of that, say aye. Aye. Okay. And I declare that carried unanimously. So I thank you all for attending. I just make the final point that, you know, that does seem the basis of a good relationship here. So to work on that, but also to explore some of those practical options that might ease traffic and parking, as outlined by Mr. Yarn, I think would be a really worthwhile thing to do. So thank you all for attending, and that concludes tonight's meeting. Thank you very much.